It's Superhuman Radio.
Carl Lenore.
The FDA has exceeded all of its previous levels of being sinister and corrupt by trying to poison this country by forcing us to eat genetically modified foods without knowing they're GMO foods, while trying to obstruct our access to natural foods that are grown right in our hometown.
Empowering the people and telling it like it is.
They're corrupt, they're sinister, they're disgusting. And we're never going to have a politician with any real chutzpah to stop the FDA. That's the sad part. So we have to stop them ourselves. By the pressure has to push back. Keep supporting your family farm.
Only on Superhuman Radio.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a really, really important show for you today. Both hours are must-hear episodes. During the first hour, we're going to be talking to Audra and Justin Wilford about the Max Love Project. You got to hear this. I heard about it when I was out at Quest in April. Many of you know that my production company just launched a new podcast that the first episodes will be released next week, called Beating Brain Cancer Podcast, hosted by Andrew Scarborough and Phil James. This ties directly into that mission of reaching people with brain cancer to let them know that there are alternatives to the standard of care. Then during the second hour, we're going to be rejoined by Dr. Anthony Samsell, the brilliant scientist who, through the Freedom of Information Act, had 30,000 emails between Monsanto and the Environmental Protect, the EPA, released that show a direct problem with glyphosate in humans. And he's coming back on to expose another area of glyphosate contamination, that's vaccines. So let's get underway with this very, very important show. First of all, I want to welcome Audra and Justin Wilford to Superhuman Radio. How are you two doing?
Oh, great. Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you, Carl.
I got to tell you. So I spent the entire month of April at Quest, and actually planning on going back very shortly to continue working on some projects with them. And I sat in on your discussion. And I was moved. I was touched. I was angered. I found hope. I found frustration. It was amazing because any parent can understand this next statement. You never want to outlive one of your children. You just don't want to. That's a sad, sad situation. And when faced with the challenge of a very young child and being told by the medical orthodoxy, this is your fate, go home and accept it, parents tend to become the strongest advocates for solutions ever. They go beyond medicine, and I applaud you. I want to start with this. Audra, tell the story. Go back and tell the story about your son, Max, where it all began.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you so much. So Max was a typical little guy. He was, you know, we started seeing symptoms when he was probably about 3 and a half. And it was early morning headaches and vomiting, and we really had no idea what was happening. And we thought it was a sinus infection, and it turns out it was a sinus infection in an X-ray. He was treated with antibiotics multiple times, which we know now what that has done to it, what that did to his gut, right? But it was a challenge because now we're learning about brain tumors that one of the presenting symptoms are sinus infections. And it might have to do with the viral component. It might have to, I mean, who knows? But it was just a progression of symptoms for probably about 8 months. And we dug and dug and dug to find out what was going on. And I think one of the challenging things for parents today is that the medical community doesn't want to test. You know, they've been kind of berated for over-testing. And so it was just a last resort to finally get this kid an MRI. And that happened when he couldn't walk. It happened when he was incontinent. It happened when he fell off of his bunk bed, actually. and couldn't move. That's how bad it got. So finally I said, Justin, can you call a pediatrician? Because maybe, you know, crazy mom isn't cutting it, right?
Oh, my God. Isn't that the truth? This in and of itself is such a sad statement. I experienced this in my own raising of children, that when the man calls, all of a sudden they take it more seriously.
And that's exactly what happened. So Justin called, and all of a sudden we have an MRI scheduled.
Yep.
For, like, you know, the next day, which I didn't know how hard that was to schedule. You know, I didn't know the importance of that. So took Max to this MRI, and we're going to go see Kung Fu Panda afterwards. He's just about 4.5 at this point in time, and I thought, you know, he's got an inner ear infection. It's just, you know, we're going to be in and out. It'll be fine. And the anesthesiologist came and retrieved me after about an hour, and he said, hey, you know, your son's coming out of anesthesia. Why don't you come on back? He's in recovery. And then he pulled me over to a side room, and he said, but you need to sit down first. You know, I'm thinking like ER, you know, back in our day, the sit-down.
Yeah.
I'm getting a sit-down right now. And he said, you know, your son has a life-threatening condition. He has what we call water on the brain, and I can't tell you more, but an ambulance is here. At this one hospital, you're going to a much bigger hospital, and you need to leave now. And so I fought back every bit of tears, and I was in complete shock. Go in and see my kid. All the nurses come in. They bring in a chaplain. Finally, the pediatrician gets on the phone with me and says, you know, this is a brain tumor. And I said, is Max going to be okay? And he said, I don't know. But I know that you have a great surgeon. Surgery is being scheduled for now. It has to happen now.
Now, wait a minute. So I have to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Were they going to go and exculpate this tumor regardless of what area of the brain it was in, even if it maybe would paralyze Max?
Well, you know, that's a really, really good question. So it turns out that they could debulk this tumor. They're hoping that they could do more than that, but they could debulk it. So it's in an area of the brain. It was growing into the fourth ventricle. It filled up the entire fourth ventricle. His brain was hemorrhaging at the time. I mean, it was a really, really critical situation. And so it was growing diffuse into the brainstem and cerebellum, but filling the fourth ventricle. So they decided that they could get out what was in the fourth ventricle. They could, you know, carve that out.
Right.
And they thought that maybe they could get more. They couldn't tell from the imaging. So we got into the ICU, and, you know, I'll tell you what, it was such a shock. Justin was working at the time, teaching at UCLA, and I texted him. I said, brain tumor. You know, get to Children's Hospital, Orange County now. And that night, though, one of the first things we did, not knowing anything, not knowing at all what we were headed for, not even knowing this was cancer. I didn't know this was cancer for 2 weeks. That's how, you know, my coping denial mechanisms.
Right,
I said 2 weeks later, I'm like, is this cancer? We're still in the hospital. They're like, yeah. but what I did at that point in time, you know, we looked at Max and we said, listen, man, you are so strong. And there is this ninja, and he's going to come in, and he's going to take, there's this bad guy fort. They built it on your brain because your brain is so awesome.
I love
who
that,
doesn't
a bad guy
brain?
Fort. That is
right?
So easy for a child to visualize.
Right. So he said, this ninja's going to come in and beat the bad guys, take out that fort, and you're going to heal. And immediately we just resorted to this healing narrative thinking that's what this 4.5-year-old kid needs. But what we realized is that that's the mindset change we needed. And that's really what set us up for our path, and, you know, we're 5 years into it now. That's what set us up for this path of really being able to fight in the way that we have for his well-being, his quality of life, and his health and wellness, right? Because we set that up as a healing path, not one of sickness. So
right.
He went into surgery the next morning, and just so you know, as a parent at a hospital, if you ask for an aspirin, they can't give you one. So, you know, you're grieving and in terrible pain, and we don't have family-centered care in our healthcare system, which is a real challenge. How is a kid supposed to do well when the parents,
yes,
you know, aren't cared for, right? Anyway, it's another whole other conversation. But we had a successful-ish surgery in that we were able to debulk the tumor, but that pushed us right into oncology. It pushed us into... He was partially paralyzed after that. So getting back to your question, it was a risk. You debulk it. You take out a good amount of those cells that are probably, you know, treatment resistant anyway, and it's just a risk you take. But he's recovered, mostly recovered, which is amazing. Neuroplasticity is something we've learned a lot about.
Right.
So we were in the hospital for about 4 weeks, and we came home and went into every kind of therapy you can imagine. He couldn't really speak very well. left side paralysis, all of that, and headed right into chemotherapy. And we had a year and a half of chemo, two protocols. Today they would say we failed off of both.
Wait a minute. Why? Because he did not respond to them, right?
You know, he had some stability on the first, some stability on the second, but recurrence, you know, each time. So they say, you know, that's a failure. So he did pretty well on the second protocol, and he was Temodar, Irinotecan, and Avastin, and he achieved some stability. We took him off of treatment, and so this is a year and a half into it. We decided to change his diet, but we didn't know about keto yet.
But wait a minute. I have questions for you.
Please.
Okay. So it's pretty well accepted by oncologists worldwide that chemo is ineffective in brain cancer because the blood-brain barrier is so successful at keeping poison out. And it baffles me why they even continue to do that. Are there any people that respond well to chemo with brain
cancer? Oh, you know, that's a really interesting question. That's probably a longer show. And there are some people we need to talk to about that because we know some doctors who are working in the space of direct application.
That's what I was going to say. Why don't they just port the brain, port the skull?
They do, right? So convection enhanced delivery is a thing that we have in our line of sight into the future. But that's a really good question. And so looking back at where, you know, we are in complete shock. Okay, chemo, that's what you do for cancer. We don't know, right? We're parents brand new, fresh into this. And now the vantage point that I have was 4.5-year-old kid, the desire is to keep the cancer stable so that we can get him old enough for radiation. So, yeah, we couldn't do radiation when he was 4. We could, but we were looking at
Probably a blessing in disguise.
Right. Exactly. So we did a year and a half of chemo to try to keep this thing stable. We wanted to get him to be 7 before doing radiation. And so it worked okay, actually, of stabilizing for a while. But we did cut all refined sugars out of his diet. You know, we did modify.
Why did you do that? Did your oncologist, did a dietitian?
No,
not at all. So, second day in the hospital, somebody sends us a book, our wonderful friend sends us a book, Anti-Cancer, A New Way of Life by Dr. Servan Schreiber. I don't know if you've heard that book, but it's a great memoir of a man who diagnosed himself with, a doctor, neurologist, diagnosed himself with brain cancer. Survived it once, recurred, and used lifestyle medicine really to change the odds. He did die, but he lasted 20 years.
Yeah, I know. I've heard the story. It's
amazing story, right?
So that compelling.
That was our introduction, and so in the hospital,
just to jump in real quick, the spring before Max was diagnosed, I had read an article in the New York Times by Gary Taubes on sugar. And so it was just in the back of my mind. And so when Max was diagnosed, we had no idea what to do for food. And we asked the doctor, should we feed Max anything special? And all the doctors said, no, you know, we just want to keep his calories up, feed him whatever you want. And the only thing that stuck in our brains was, oh, that Gary Taubes article, sugar's bad. I mean,
Can I add to that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As a parent, when that article came out, is sugar toxic? Justin sent that to me 6 months before Max was diagnosed. And I was like, great, awesome. Now everything's bad for you. Can't handle it, you know, as a parent, right?
Right.
I mean, I was just so pissed at that article. I thought, you know, you're cutting off my chances here of yet another, you know, nutrient source. You know, we had no idea. But it was just such a blessing in disguise. Like Justin said, we get this book, Anti-Cancer, you know, confirms with a good research foundation that, hey, we really need to cut sugars. And at that time, like Justin said, you know, we asked for the dietitian. The dietitian said, sure. You know, I said, hey, I want to Vitamix some kale. Like, what can I do to help this kid with food? And they said, oh, you want to do shakes? Here's the shake menu that we have here at the hospital. And let me tell you, every single thing, the components are ice cream and Nesquik, Carnation instant breakfast, right, and Pediasure.
Oh.
Every single shake. There's
it's
just
disgusting.
Sugar loaded.
Yeah.
So sugar and soybean oil.
Yep.
And by the way, an article published last year that we just talked about again this year is the relationship between soybean oil and obesogenic factors of its pro-inflammatory effects. And when you talk about cancer, mitochondrial going rogue, inflammation is at the basis of that.
Absolutely. And so look at what these kids are being fed, right? You're on the clear liquid diet after brain surgery, and you're given apple juice that's like the aluminum pop top thing. You know, it's just like a high fructose corn syrup and water.
Right.
And then you are given broth, right, which is high fructose corn syrup colored to look like chicken.
Right.
And, right? And popsicles, which are high fructose corn syrup and food colorings and additives and all this stuff. And that's all they have access to. And then you're given a wholesome shake menu, right? This is supposed to be your smoothie menu. That's all of those same ingredients. And then we wonder why we have to use the highest doses of chemotherapies to try to help these kids, right? There is a huge disconnect there. And so we saw that pretty immediately. And I'm actually a trained cook. And so I looked, you know, I worked in the industry. I was a line cook. And I said, I know I can do something with food. And I knew on day three that this was fishy, you know, and not in a good way. This was like, this is not a good thing. We're not going to feed our kid this way.
Right.
And so we started to change food, and the doctor said, listen, you can do this right now, you know, as long as you don't hurt him. As soon as he starts to lose weight, you know, and things like that, you're going to have to change.
Yeah, but that even in and of itself, look, there's weight loss and there's cachexia. They're very, very different. They're very,
very
different.
Right.
I want to take a break, and I want to pick it up right there on the other side. When you started feeding him differently, what you started to notice. This is a very, very important discussion, especially if you have a parent, if you know someone who's the parent of a child who is struggling with this type of a diagnosis. You must pass this show to them. There is hope. But you must have the courage to take control of the outcome for your child. Stay tuned.
Ketones are being called the fourth macronutrient because the body loves to use them for energy. Now you can leverage the hunger-fighting, mood-elevating effects of ketones with Keto OS. Take one package in the morning and don't eat again until you're hungry. You won't feel lethargic and you'll be alert and focused. Try Keto OS today. Go to superhumanradio.com, click the Keto OS banner ad to take advantage of the 5-day experience trial package. Leverage the power of ketones with Keto OS.
Legendary name in hardcore supplementation. Iron Mag Labs. 100% original, patent pending, Andro compound. The most effective, hardcore, groundbreaking bodybuilding supplements in the world.
In the world.
Iron Mag Labs. Revolutionizing hardcore supplementation for more than a decade. Visit IronMagLabs.com. IronMagLabs.com.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars. Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest Bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advance contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advance. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website.
Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advance banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Please give us the power to blow people's minds with our high voltage rock. In your name we pray.
I want to throw it at the medical orthodoxy. A big, heavy granite rock. I want to drop it on their heads. So, this is a very, very important discussion. We're talking with Justin and Audra Wilford about their son, Max, who I got to meet, and he's a charming little guy. Really, child model quality looks. I mean, he's just really a cool kid.
Thank you.
And, you know, and for him, this is all like, he doesn't know what's going on, right? So mom and dad have to fight the fight. The problem is that most moms and dads are afraid to challenge their physicians. And this is a problem today. Physicians are like mechanics and butchers. They make mistakes. The difference is, one is a bad steak. Maybe one is a bad tune-up, but the other one is a shortened life. So, you know, it's important that people feel comfortable when critical thinking exposes some flaws that you challenge your physician. Okay, so talk about this. We were talking about the shakes and the things that they were looking to feed Max, and so you kind of grabbed the whole list and thought, I can come up with some healthy things that aren't loaded with sugar. So where did you start with that?
Right. So let me set that up with where we started with and then where we are today, along with how we talked with our physicians, to give that glimmer of hope, because it's completely there. It's amazing the transformations that can occur. So we started out going to chemo every week with cucumbers and peppers, fresh veggies, seaweed chips, stuff like that, right? Good whole foods from sources we know.
Right.
Simple stuff. If I baked, it was gluten-free. We were using an erythritol sweetener, you know, things like that. But
right.
Still, he was still eating grains. And what we found was this child, along with having acupuncture twice a week, physical activity, we were pushing him hard, right?
Right.
Lots of hydration, good sleep. This kid never had a blood transfusion. He never had an ER visit. Year and a half of chemo.
That's surprising, because usually when children undergo
right?
chemo, their immune system becomes wrecked. They're sick all the time. Yeah,
it's so true. And even when his ANC was zero, he never got sick.
Interesting.
So with proper supplementation, we did some good, really good mushroom supplements. We did curcumin, green tea extract, vitamin D, of course, a number of good supplements. I mean, this kid was just straight up healthy going through this. And we
right.
thought, hey, what if this could be an answer for everybody? Why can't we all just be a bit more well and feel good or feel better a little bit going through treatment, right? So the thing that transitioned for us was when we started to see that we didn't have great treatment options, we saw recurrence we were getting to that point. Justin can talk more about this. I'm just going to set it up real quick. We started to dig into the research on sugar. We started to look at the research on the ketogenic diet. We started to see this before we saw recurrence in Max. And we started to see it had to be our next option. And it was Justin's diligence in getting into the med libraries at UCLA and things like that, really digging deep, having the information competency to read these studies. And he said, this is what we've got to do. Justin and I actually went keto before Max. We took the research to his oncologist, and we said, with all due respect, you're an amazing researcher. You have a lifelong track record here. You're on the Temidar study. You know, you're part of that team. Like, can you please look at this research? We think it's compelling. So very kindly.
Let me back up just one step, because so we stopped chemo in January 2013 because the oncologist said, you know, we haven't seen growth in, I don't know, it had been 8 or 10 months, and let's just do wash.
Give him a break.
Waiting. Yeah. Give him a break, and we thought that was the best idea, and so we went forward. But by that time, we had been a year into starting the Maxwell Project, and so we had been working with a bunch of families on food and sleep and providing acupuncture and things like that. And we had a couple families whose children's tumors continued to progress, and so we had to really dig deep and say, okay, what else do we have to offer, because they're doing everything else. And that's when we came across the ketogenic diet. And so it started as something I came across. I was teaching at UCLA at the time in geography, nothing to do with medicine, but I had access to all of the medical library, and that's where I came across the ketogenic diet. So we started to share with other families, and immediately they just found it overwhelming and too difficult, none of the families were able to take it on.
I have a real problem with that, I got to tell you. And I have literally pulled myself back, and I'm doing it again right now, from the precipices of serious illness, using nutritional strategies and using exercise. I don't understand how anything that would save your child's life is just too hard to get with.
Well, I'll tell you, so it goes back to what we were talking about before, where the doctors don't know about it and they aren't supportive, and so you're asking, so we were asking parents, you know, hey, let's give this thing a try, and the doctor's saying, absolutely not, I don't support this, I don't know what it is, and so the parents are, you know, they're kind of in a bind. And also, I feel like back then, so this is early 2013, although there were a lot of resources out there, there are so many more resources today. And so it was, I would say it was a little bit more difficult, and to ask parents to kind of take this leap, you know, was a big ask. But for us, we at the time we're saying, you know, we're studying this diet, it does look kind of difficult, kind of on the outside, but we said, you know, if Max ever gets in a bad place with the disease, we are definitely going to do it. Lo and behold, a couple months later, on a scan, we see recurrence. And so we said, all right, well, let's dive
in.
And
it was not good. It was spread. It was disease spread.
Right.
And so at that point in time, we said, okay, we had already started, because we had a feeling, like as a parent, we have a feeling. We get this news, beginning of September, we initiate the diet with Max. And then pretty soon after that, we hear back from our oncologist, because we had sent all that research for it. She said, hey, I'll support it.
Didn't one of the physicians tell you, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm confusing some, because I am doing so much in this category.
Oh,
right.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
Didn't one of the physicians tell you, look, this is like the last ditch effort for kids with epilepsy, because this is such a hard diet to adhere to that we'd rather go to meds and stuff. Before this, didn't one of them try to kind of discourage you, like that this was like really, really extreme?
That wasn't us, right?
No, I mean, we heard those voices too, but Dr. Shanath said, you know, yes, I'll support it.
Okay,
I mean,
our oncologist originally did not support it, and was thought this is just a far out idea. You know, this is not anything on the conventional mainstream radar. And then what I had to do was collect every single ketogenic and cancer study that I could find, and I printed them out and I dropped them on her desk, not literally, but
you know what, Justin? This is what frustrates the HE double hockey sticks out of me, okay?
Yeah.
So we do that on this show. We're constantly talking about emerging science that's usually 5 to 10 years ahead of what breaks into the mainstream. Doctors have a responsibility by the nature of their field to be looking at this research now too, and not 10 years from now.
And to be hungry.
Yeah. Yes.
And to be hungry for it. And dietitians as well. I mean, they're even further behind than doctors.
Yes, yes.
Right?
When you look at who's funding American Dietetic Association.
Right, Nestle.
Coca-Cola, Nestle.
Yeah.
I mean, come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on.
Right. So, I mean, just getting back into this, what happened was we put Max on the diet, and 3 months later, no other treatment at this point in time because he needed multiple brain surgeries. He needed a shunt. He needed some corrective things with his cerebral spinal fluid, a bunch of different things going on. We had set the force to do radiation. Radiation was the next step. We're going to do radiation. We have to do these brain surgeries first, right? So we start the diet September. By November, the disease is stable on no other treatment. So 3 months later, 2 months later, disease is stable. And we then go into radiation therapy when he's fully keto-adapted. He had been, by then it was April, end of March, April of 2014. He goes into the full life limit of radiation that he could have at that point in time, 6 weeks. And this kid, fully keto, doing great. He goes to radiation in the morning. He goes to school right after.
Right.
First grade. Then he goes
Little
to baseball
yeah.
after that. And by like week six, he's like, I'm feeling a little tired.
right?
Right. But I mean, absolutely amazing. And the amazing thing that happened is in all of those brain surgeries, unlike the first, in the first two really, all of the other ones, I mean, he blasted through these surgeries. Not fully in ketosis. We had to manage that because surgically there's a lot of things you have to manage when you're in ketosis and going through a major surgery. He, I mean, 24 hours, like the kid didn't need pain medication. He went home with Tylenol. I mean, there's so many other benefits to this diet that are far beyond just fighting the cancer, right?
Well, creating resiliency in healthy cells under ionizing radiation alone is one of the benefits of the ketogenic diet.
Yes, and we really believe that we served him so well with neuroprotection, but at the same time also enhanced the efficacy of radiation because what we saw after that was something called pseudoprogression. And everything kind of blew up and looked like it was getting bigger and then reduced in size. Now, we were told that radiation would only stop the growth, that we would see no regression. After that point in time, for over a year afterwards, we saw regression in evidence.
That's from the diet. That's from the diet. And the truth of the matter is, in many cases, ionizing radiation causes the tumor to become more aggressive and grow faster.
Right.
Well, we were really excited about radiation because of the Abdul Wahab study in the Sheck lab, and so we were super excited about combining the ketogenic diet with radiation. So we still believe that there was a synergy.
We weren't the only ones, though. We weren't the only ones. What's really interesting, as it turns out, is that our oncologist was really excited after reading all these studies, and she said, "I'm not going to put him on steroids." As we normally do for radiation. He doesn't need it. He's on the ketogenic diet. Let's do it without.
Wow.
I don't want to raise his blood sugar. So then what happened was, results are so amazing. Max does so well. She passes a protocol through IRB at Children's Hospital of Orange County for the ketogenic diet and also modified Atkins now for brain tumor patients. And now it's all solid tumors. We have sarcoma patients doing it. It's really, really groundbreaking and amazing. So what went from a resistance at first to I won't stand in your way, turned into this has to be an option for our patients. And what we're seeing are, for people who can adhere to it, we're seeing really great results. And at least this is the only supportive oncologist I know of, in pediatric oncology anyway.
Pediatric,
then just fast forwarding for Max, he does great for 2.5 years. Great. 2.5 years keto, he still has evidence of disease, but it's as dim as can be. There's no evidence of activity. We took him off the diet for probably, 6-8 months, Justin?
Probably 8 months off the diet. On a kind of low carb paleo diet.
Right.
Low carb, kind of still low carb, high fat, just not super focused keto, right? And we still found when we'd measure his blood that he was still, ketotic sometimes. It was still there.
Like what? How many millimoles of ketones was he producing?
It would be low.
Between 1 and 1.5,
that's still
when
good.
We would check
that's still
randomly.
Good.
But it's still good, right? But we really needed to focus for a child anyway on his growth. And so to get that linear growth, we needed to enhance his diet a little bit to allow for that. And he grew. He grew. I mean, it's phenomenal. He caught up because he was a bit stunted from those years. And that's
sure.
just the thing with a kid on the diet that you got to look at. And then I have to say, two scans ago, we're looking at June. We now have evidence of recurrence.
Because he's been off the diet.
Right.
Yeah. So, but you're right. It's a balancing act because the child has to grow.
Exactly.
You need some insulin to grow, but the problem is that insulin can actually start to spark the regrowth of bad tissue as well as good tissue.
Right.
So let's do this. Let's take a break. Let's come back. Let's talk about where Max is today and where you guys are moving to today, and then let's talk about the mission of the Max Love Project. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What do professional athletes such as Kobe Bryant and A-list celebrities such as Selma Hayek have in common? They are all touting the benefits of bone broth. But unless you have countless hours to cook every week or can hire your own personal chef, you're probably missing out on these critical nutrients. Osteobroth is a high-protein, standardized, consistent bone broth in a convenient powdered form. Use promo code SHR for 20% off at osteobroth.com.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest protein bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
The Category Killer just got upgraded in a big way. New MassPro Synthogen X2 is here. Take it before and after training and recover faster than with anabolic steroids. Visit Synthogen.com and use coupon code SHR15 for 15% off. MassPro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. I got to give a plug to Quest Nutrition's new keto line. They just released it this week. For those of you who are interested in following a ketogenic diet and you don't have the time to cook everything yourself, they've got keto desserts, keto snacks, and keto meals. I tried everything when I was there in April. I just got a box of stuff that I'm loving right now. Quest is always a leader, way ahead of the pack, and this is a much-needed product line because I predict that the ketogenic diet is going to have a lot of different therapeutic uses moving forward. For things like fibromyalgia, I predict the ketogenic diet will reverse fibromyalgia. You heard it here first. The research I've done points me in that direction. So with that being said, where is Max today? How is he doing?
Can we echo your plug for Quest now?
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, since developing that friendship, it's been amazing because as soon as we got those scan results, we called our friends at the Epigenics Foundation and we said, can you help Max? We know how to do keto, but we're about to head on a big vacation. We need some of those foods. And they said, absolutely, let's get started. And so they have been helping us with the Quest, the entire Quest keto line. They've got them in the Epigenics program, which if people aren't familiar with the Epigenics Foundation that Quest funds, they have been doing amazing work with dogs and people. And they're running some pretty incredible studies right now with their foods. And so Max has been now in ketosis for a few months, and we're going to be he's doing great with that. The last scan was stable from the first scan that showed progression, I guess we'd call it progression at this point. And we're going to head into gamma knife radiation. We're going to do so. We feel like a good management plan for us is to do a very targeted, super targeted, lower dose gamma knife therapy because the tumors are in between essential nerves in the brainstem,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there's no room to grow.
Right.
There's no room to play around with it.
Right.
So we feel like going keto, doing that. We're looking at hyperbaric oxygen. Whatever we can do. And if that's how we're going to manage this chronic disease at this point as a chronic disease, then, you know, maybe that's the plan. Now, it was floated ideas of clinical trials and chemotherapy and all that. Getting back to the beginning of our conversation, we just can't envision at all putting his entire body through all of that just to get to these little spots in the brainstem.
Right,
it's
right.
Just not possible. Now, if we had to, let's say we get out of range of gamma knife, one of the amazing things happening right now is in the direct delivery model. And that's happening through some of our friends in other pediatric cancer research foundations, the Tyler Campbell Foundation, McKenna Clare Foundation. They are working with terminal brain cancers, pediatric brain cancers. These are kids diagnosed with brainstem gliomas who have no chances, zero. They'll die in 3 to 6 months, maybe 9. So, ketogenic diet.
Have you heard about intravenous ketone, intravenous butyrate?
We're just at the beginning, but Justin can jump in on that. So Justin can talk a little bit more on the technical side of where we think some of the hope is with these fully complementary therapies. I mean, there's a lot of them, including immunotherapies with keto.
Well, but intravenous ketone therapy, you can saturate an area of the body rapidly for a period of time with ketones, and they're really saying it's kind of like non-toxic chemotherapy because
right.
Because the cancer cells just die, but
right.
All the healthy cells thrive.
Right. Mm.
Yeah, I actually haven't heard of the intravenous ketones, but I would love to hear more about that. But I just want to clarify, just because Audra said it real quick. So on Max's MRI in June, we saw progression for the first time in 2 years, and then we immediately, I mean, that day when we got the scan results, we go right back on the ketogenic diet. We're testing blood, and then in a scan that we did a couple weeks ago, we see progression. I mean, we see stability. We see that it did not grow a single bit. And so this is really remarkable stuff because, you know, our oncologists say pretty much when you see recurrence or progression, it doesn't stop until you give some sort of, you know, until it's chemo, radiation, surgery. And so for us to see this relatively quick response on the ketogenic diet, once again, is really encouraging.
You need to look at some of the research on intravenous ketone supplementation, because it's I just did a show about it that it's not been released yet. And they're saying that it could be the new advent of a chemotherapy type of a treatment, but it doesn't harm the patient. It just destroys the cancer in a local area.
That's amazing. Yeah. We can't wait to hear that show. We're taking notes.
Yeah. I'm actually going to book you guys on that show. It's the Beating Brain Cancer Show. So that's specifically about brain cancer. So now let's talk about the Max Love Project. So Audra, to save your child's life, that had to become your focus. And obviously, Justin, to save your child's life, you needed to keep the family financially stable. You started the Max Love Project. What is that, and what is its mission, and how can people help?
You know, we initially started Max Love Project as an opportunity for Max and I to build a community we didn't have. One thing we haven't talked about yet is the significance of social support going through this. Social support is therapeutic, and Justin can talk a lot about that. His research is in that area. And we didn't have a community, so we decided we needed to build the community. We have an amazing story of a therapeutic nightlight that really helped Max, and that's really how we started the project, was something between Max and I to give back. My colleagues at work at Saddleback College, they put me out of work for a year. Everyone from the groundskeeper to the president donated their time for me to be with Max. And I knew I had to pay it forward. And, you know, I'm a busybody, so I had to do something and not just, you know, sit there feeling bad for ourselves. We had to, you know, make cancer give back. And so we jumped into action. We started giving these products to kids around the world, knowing that they were therapeutic, to help them sleep in the hospital. And that really transformed, though, in Max's going through what Max is going through and seeing those opportunities and seeing the void in healthcare, in pediatric healthcare. We knew we could do more. And we said, hey, we have this nonprofit. Let's do more with it. Let's take it to another level. And that's exactly what we did. We were able to get our initial board members who were so sweet and kind, who helped us get the thing started, the people who really wanted to take it further, stepped up to help us take it further. And we initiated things like therapeutic cooking classes for families. We initiated an online support group that now has over 700 members, pediatric cancer families interested in health and wellness and what we call fierce foods. We have a really great package program where we send out a well kit to families who are newly diagnosed or just entering the journey of survivorship. And we also give therapeutic bone broth to families in our area. We distribute out 60 to 80 quarts a week of bone broth that is prepared by one of our amazing chefs. He's a butcher who works with pastured animals. Amazing stuff. And to replace that bouillon that families are served,
right?
And we're seeing amazing results from that. So once we saw the opportunity to work in the wellness space for families, we saw that it's a void, and it's really our goal to help make that connection in pediatric healthcare, because we can imagine a day that when you're hospitalized and you ask about diet, that you get really more of a functional medicine approach to that answer than that shake menu. You know, a full complement to your treatment. You should have your oncologist, let's say. You should have your surgeon, let's say. And then you should have your functional medicine doctor.
You know, you're a much more optimistic person than I. No, I'm being sincere. So, but I want to applaud something that you're talking about here, because I don't think medicine is ever going to get with this, only because, unfortunately, if it doesn't make money for medicine, medicine is not interested in promoting it. And that's not the doctor's fault. The doctors are hostages, just like the patients are, because of who actually makes medicine. And the companies that are involved in that. But with that being said, the reason that the community is so critically important is because we develop courage when we think we're doing the right thing. Now, some parents innately have their own compass, like you two did, and you didn't need to have a bunch of other people say, we did it, you should do it too. You kind of carved your own path. But the average American is so afraid of making a mistake when it comes to their child's health.
Absolutely.
That they abdicate their responsibility and choice to their doctor because they feel like, well, my doctor knows the best and I don't want to make a mistake. When in reality, if they had a community to go to and have people tell these stories like Max's story and other stories, and this is, and folks, this is not one-off type stuff anymore. There are literally tens of thousands of people changing the trajectory of their lives, suffering from cancer, turning their lives around and becoming healthy again because of these types of protocols, CBD oil, hydrobaric
oxygen. Oh, which we did too, by the way, with Max.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but the community is important, yep, because parents can help get the courage from the community.
Right. That's right. And we're going to move this ship forward. And I have to tell you that one of the big things that's really changing is the Affordable Care Act. And the system's changing to move towards outcomes as opposed to payment per service. And our unlikely, I think, ally in this at some point is going to be the insurance companies, because they're the ones who want you to pay for insurance but not cost them anything.
Right.
When we can get all these people to the table, at some point we're going to change the type of care we provide.
You're right.
And that is where we're moving, this groundswell, grassroots groundswell of parents in communities across the country who are saying we can do better. But you know what? We're going to work within our community to make it happen. And so you can go to maxlerproject.org and see what we're doing. We have a heavy focus on survivorship. We believe that survivorship starts day one. The day you're diagnosed, you're a cancer survivor. So let's make the most of it, right? For the time that you have, let's carve out, what do they say, biohack, do whatever we can to make that quality time, that lifelong quality time. Because we can save a life with our treatments today, you know, for 5 years and count that as a survival, and then 5.5 years into it, you're suffering from dire consequences of that treatment.
Right.
But we can change that. You know, we can change those odds
people don't
by
realize,
focusing on lifestyle medicine.
People don't realize that the way they grade successful cancer treatment is if you do not die within 5 years from the cancer.
Right.
Now, people who get cisplatin die from kidney failure.
Right.
And people who get some of the other harmful chemotherapies die from heart failure. Women who get left breast radiation because of breast cancer die from heart failure. But if they die in 3 years, it's a cancer success because they didn't die from cancer. They died from the treatment.
Right.
Yeah, so that's exactly why our focus has turned to survivorship, because today 84% of all kids diagnosed with cancer live over 5 years. And then when you start to dig into the data, it shows exactly what you said, that there are all of these late term effects. And so we know that, you know, the ketogenic diet can be a really powerful adjunctive therapy, but there are a lot of other nutritional approaches as well that are including the ketogenic diet, that are going to mitigate a lot of these harmful effects. And so that's been our new focus for sure on this.
So again, the website is maxloveproject.org. Is that right?
You got it.
Maxloveproject.org. People can go there and check out the site, learn. What can people do who don't have a child with cancer or cancer in their lives at all, what can they do to help Max Love Project reach more children?
Oh, we have something they can do today.
Yeah.
Today, right now. We have an amazing campaign going on right now with the Honest Company, you know, Jessica Alba's company. They are donating $1 to us for every use of the hashtag on social media, Honest Loves Max. The easiest thing that anyone can do for us is use the hashtag HonestLovesMax, tweet it, ask for retweets, and they're
Instagram,
bringing in
Facebook.
Yeah, they're bringing in up to $50,000 for us this month, and that all goes to support our broth bank, our Thrivership programs, and we're working to build a culinary medicine center here in Orange County, a nutrition kitchen. So when you're out here to see Quest again, we've got to see you again.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I'll be full-blown keto when I get back out there again. I'm starting actually next week.
Oh, you and Max, man, you and Max. He is rocking it. I have to tell you, you can't do it without measuring your blood, right? That's
right.
One of the big things that we see from people. They don't want to measure blood. Then you don't know anything.
Right,
If you don't.
Right. Yeah, So one of the questions that's been asked from a lot of the scientists that have been interviewed already for the Beating Brain Cancer podcast is, what would you do if you were diagnosed with brain cancer tomorrow? And And almost unanimously, all of the Dr. Siegfried, Dr. D'Agostino, Dr. Poff, all of them, they all say the first thing I would do is stop eating for a couple days.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, intermittent fasting is medicine. Fasting is medicine. And the reality is that if I fast for 16 hours, I am producing about 1.2 to 1.4 millimoles of ketones that fast. My body, I've been doing this for so long. We've been talking about the ketogenic diet on this show since 2006. Before it became in vogue, I had Dr. Mauro Di Pasquale. Little known fact, Dr. Mauro Di Pasquale wrote a book called The Anabolic Diet, which was basically a biphasic ketogenic diet with a carb refeed day on the weekends. He was talking about the ketogenic diet for performance in 35 years ago.
Wow.
And so, you know, I've been playing around with ketosis, the ketogenic diet, quite frankly, for almost 11 years now. And my body is so well adapted that I can get ketones to be produced pretty quickly. And I love that about myself. I think that that is an evolutionary gift that I have exploited. I want to thank you guys for coming on the show. I know it was hard because you're in great demand right now. It's our pleasure. I can't wait to hang out with Max when I'm back in the
Oh, we can't wait to hang out with you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is going to be cool. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate it.
MaxLoveProject.org. And the hashtag again is?
Honest Loves Max.
Honest.
And you can also go to the Max Love Project Facebook page or the Twitter account, and you can just retweet what we're doing, and that will count towards the $50,000.
I want my audience to help. Please, please help. Listen, we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Take care. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to be joined by Dr. Anthony Samsel, the guy who really broke the news that the mainstream media has completely ignored about the letters he received through the Freedom of Information Act, 30,000 emails between the EPA and Monsanto, many of them implicating glyphosate as being a danger to human health, but being ignored by the EPA. And he's got some new news about glyphosate and vaccines. Stay tuned.
Properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
ketones are being called the fourth macronutrient because the body loves to use them for energy. Now you can leverage the hunger-fighting, mood-elevating effects of ketones with Keto OS. Take one package in the morning and don't eat again until you're hungry. You won't feel lethargic and you'll be alert and focused. Try Keto OS today. Go to superhumanradio.com, click the Keto OS banner ad to take advantage of the 5-day experience trial package. Leverage the power of ketones with Keto OS.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise With Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
My name is Sadie.
Welcome back.
My name is what? My name is Sadie.
You know, I've said for many, many years now that the new evolutionary selection pressure is where you get your information from, because it will determine the outcome of your life. It will determine the epigenetic effects passed on to your children's lives and your grandchildren's lives and their grandchildren and so on. Because information is what drives decisions. It's what drives the assessment of risk, and it affects lives directly. So anybody who works hard to bring forth the truth in information about what hurts our population, in my humble opinion, is an American hero. Especially when that person has to really swim against the tide and suffer the ridicule of the paid opinions that try to repel the truth from the masses, but continues forward, does not cower, does not stop, continues forward, suffering the slings and arrows of that type of treatment just to bring the truth forward to the people. That is an American hero. My next guest, who is a returning guest, is, in my opinion, an American hero. He's Dr. Anthony Samsel. He's a research scientist, used to be with the Arthur D. Little think tank. How you doing, Dr. Samsel?
I'm doing well, Carl, and yourself?
Wonderful, wonderful. So during the break, you and I had a little interaction, and I said, coming into this segment, that you are the guy that received 30,000 emails through the Freedom of Information Act that exposed the relationship between the EPA and Monsanto and their knowledge of glyphosate being harmful to humans. And you laughed during the break and said to me,
and I said, you've got me confused with Hillary Clinton. She had the 30,000 emails, not me.
How many emails was it that you ended up getting through the Freedom of Information?
Well, I didn't get any emails. The Environmental Protection Agency sent me tens upon tens of thousands of pages of dozens upon dozens of Monsanto trade secret studies. So it's in excess of 30,000 pages. It's probably approaching 100,000 pages. I really haven't counted them.
Okay, so that's why I remember the 30,000 from our interview that we did a while ago, and I made that into emails. I apologize.
Yeah, I have a lot more pages than 30,000.
So as a result of you digging down into glyphosate, and really you're the only one still talking about it, because it's almost like the interest in the discussion is past. You have discovered something else that we're going to be talking about today, and that is glyphosate showing up in vaccines.
Yes. I have found glyphosate in many popular vaccines.
Like, when you say popular, give me some off-the-top popular vaccines that you've found in it.
Well, let's see. I found glyphosate in the MMR2 vaccine.
Oh, my God, that's given to children when they're so young.
Yeah, and also in the ProQuad MMR vaccine.
That's the four different, that's the one that actually has a gelatin base that seems to produce inflammation in the brain at the same time. What else? Any, what about the
chickenpox vaccine, Verivax from Merck, that's contaminated. Zostavax, another Merck vaccine for shingles.
Uh-huh.
That's contaminated. The Adacel DTaP vaccine, diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis shot from Sanofi Pasteur, that's contaminated. GlaxoSmithKline's B Energex B, the hepatitis B recombinant vaccine, is contaminated. I tested a number of flu vaccines, like Sanofi Pasteur's Fluzone Quad, that's contaminated. There was another flu vaccine, the Fluvirin influenza vaccine from Novartis, that's also contaminated. It's not just the vaccines that contain gelatin that are contaminated. Those that use eggs for growing the virus, I found also contaminated.
But, and that's because they're feeding the chickens feed that's contaminated, right?
They're feeding the livestock genetically engineered grain that is sprayed to death with glyphosate. It passes through the food chain. As a matter of fact, I have all of the Monsanto studies for all of the different crops and food chain that would be exposed to glyphosate, all the work that they did. They explored eggs, they explored milk, all the various crops that it would be sprayed on and also absorbed through the root system. They explored that. I have all that data and information, and everything that that glyphosate comes in contact with, whether it's absorbed through the roots or directly sprayed on, becomes contaminated with glyphosate. Why? Because glyphosate is a synthetic amino acid, an analog of glycine. It functions as an amino acid. Glyphosate is not toxic. Contrary to popular belief, everybody talks about the toxicity of glyphosate.
And in fact, that the people who dispute that glyphosate or promote that glyphosate is safe, they say that it's not toxic, and that's true.
Well, let me tell your listeners, I agree with Monsanto. It is it's relatively non-toxic. Glyphosate, its toxicity, or LD50 in rats, is 5,600 milligrams per kilogram of body weight. That's how much it's going to take to kill half the lab rats, and that's acute toxicity. If you look at our amino acid glycine, it takes 7,930 milligrams per kilogram of body weight to cause acute toxicity in half the lab animals that you're performing this test on. So if you look at glycine and its analog glyphosate there, I mean, they're pretty close as far as acute toxicity. But that's not how glyphosate works. It's not about toxicity. And the EPA, the FDA, the CDC, all these people, they should not be looking at the toxic effects of glyphosate. They should be looking at the fact that this damn thing is a synthetic amino acid that participates in biology and bioaccumulates. When it does, it causes misfolded proteins that malfunction and lead to virtually every disease under the planet.
We got to stay with this because this is so. One of the enlightening events that happened for me in biology several years ago was the role of the endoplasmic reticulum. And when it goes bad, it is the reason for things like tau plaque and beta amyloid plaque buildup because it starts to go haywire and folding more proteins, misfolding proteins, and so on.
No, Kyle, you got to back up.
Okay, go
ahead. Let me take that and clarify what you're saying.
Go ahead.
The endoplasmic reticulum within the cell. That's where the various structural proteins and whatnot are being excreted, put together and formed. Our RNA template selects the various amino acids that have to be bonded together
right.
to form the various structural proteins, whether it's collagen, laminin, fibronectin, or elastin.
Right.
Those are the basic proteins and connective proteins that form the extracellular matrix that surrounds every single cell.
Okay.
And glycine is about 25% of our biology, the amino acid glycine. What happens is that when you ingest food or it's absorbed through the skin or you inhale it, in this case glyphosate, it winds up in the bloodstream. Monsanto found that it would circulate for 70 to 14 days. That was the half-life, the beta half-life. It would circulate in the bloodstream. Now, the end of the line for the bloodstream are the capillaries. The capillaries and nerve endings end in our extracellular matrix.
Right.
And it is there in the extracellular matrix that glyphosate reaches
high concentrations.
High concentration,
right.
And then it's transported across the cell wall, one molecule at a time, by amino acid transporters, and that's where the RNA picks it up, orders it, puts it together for the particular protein that it's forming. Say in the case of collagen, we have 27 different types of collagen. So the order of glycine to proline to whatever the amino acid varies between types of collagen depending on the purpose that it's intended for. And that also goes for elastin that gives us flexibility and the protein's flexibility. And also for fibronectin and laminin that are the structural proteins that cause the attachment to the cell wall.
So is the problem that this synthetic amino acid is being incorporated into these sequences of amino acids, and that is what's causing the problems?
That's what's causing the problem. And, this stuff gets ordered together, that's where the endoplasmic reticulum comes in, and it's secreted like collagen or laminin, fibronectin, or elastin. These polymers are secreted to the outside of the cell where they self-assemble. And when they have glyphosate as an amino acid in place of glycine, they misfold.
Mm-hmm.
And when they misfold, they malfunction, and they lead to disease. When glyphosate becomes part of protein, it makes the proteins resistant to proteolysis.
Ah.
So, and this happens with all life. All life is based on our 21 amino acids, our canonical amino acids. And these are the non-coding amino acids.
Okay.
This doesn't have anything to do with the coding amino acids of the DNA.
Yeah, they're not messengers at this point. They're actually structural contributors.
They're structural contributors. They're the building blocks of proteinaceous material. And there's no mechanism to catch any kind of misincorporation. There are lots of other examples of misincorporation in biology that we reference in our new paper. which isn't out yet. I'm still in the middle of putting the final touches to that paper before it goes to peer review. But that paper is Glyphosate Pathways to Modern Disease 6, Prions, Amyloidosis, and Autoimmune Neurological Diseases.
And we just talked about amyloidosis of the heart recently, because it's a number, it's growing to be a contributor to heart failure. This kind of ties into that discussion.
Stephanie and I explain it in the new paper. I'm hoping that'll be out within the next couple of months. Getting back to the misincorporation of amino acids, it's not just glyphosate that's capable of this, but also another amino acid analog used as an herbicide can do similar in biology, and that's glufosinate or phosphenothricin, which is a toxic amino acid that's produced by soil bacteria. That can misincorporate in place of glutamic acid and glutamine, those two canonical amino acids, and being a non-coding amino acid, it can incorporate and cause misfolded proteins. Another one is BMAA, that's beta-N-methylamino-L-alanine. That's another non-coding amino acid that can misincorporate for our amino acid serine. And then there's L-canavanine, which is another amino acid toxin that can substitute
where are they coming from? We know the glycine, the synthetic glycine is coming from the glyphosate. The other ones that you just named, are they also a result of glyphosate?
No, they're not the result of glyphosate. They're the result of biology. Plants produce toxins, which some of them are amino acids, and the plants use them as a defense mechanism.
Uh-huh.
Against herbivores.
Interesting. Wow.
And bacteria produce toxic amino acids too, like soil bacteria,
right,
that we just discussed. So,
right.
This concept is not new to biology.
Right. But it's being ignored when it comes to glyphosate.
That's because Monsanto and the EPA never viewed glyphosate as a synthetic amino acid.
I want to take a break. When we come
back,
I want to come back and get back on the whole contamination of vaccines path, because one of the things that proponents of glyphosate love to say is that such a small amount, it doesn't matter. They said that when I wrote the blog post about glyphosate showing up in tampons. Oh, that's such a small amount, it doesn't matter. But glyphosate never was designed to find its way into a woman's vagina. So let's talk about the real risks of contaminated vaccines to children. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
A legendary name in hardcore supplementation. Iron Mag Labs. 100% original, patent pending Andro compound. The most effective, hardcore, groundbreaking bodybuilding supplements in the world.
In the world.
Iron Mag Labs. Revolutionizing hardcore supplementation for more than a decade. Visit IronMagLabs.com. IronMagLabs.com.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LiveOnLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
What do professional athletes such as Kobe Bryant and A-list celebrities such as Selma Hayek have in common? They are all touting the benefits of bone broth. But unless you have countless hours to cook every week or can hire your own personal chef, you're probably missing out on these critical nutrients. Osteobroth is a high-protein, standardized, consistent bone broth in a convenient powdered form. Use promo code SHR for 20% off at osteobroth.com.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back. So we're talking with Dr. Anthony Samsell about vaccines being contaminated with glyphosate Roundup. It's everywhere in our environment. I don't know that how many generations it's going to take, or if even possible, to get it out of the environment, the way it's going now. So why is this such a big deal, Dr. Samsell? So there's some glyphosate in vaccines. I'm playing devil's advocate here.
I calculated how many molecules of glyphosate are in a part per billion. I mean, a lot of people have raised that issue and said, oh, well, you know, it's only a few parts per billion. Or whatever, you know, that can't possibly harm you. Well, again, as we said a few minutes ago, it's not about toxicity. Glyphosate is relatively non-toxic. It is about glyphosate participating as a synthetic amino acid in biology and causing misfolded proteins that malfunction and lead to disease. Now, one part per billion of glyphosate is 3.561 trillion molecules of glyphosate. Let me say that again. 3.561 trillion molecules of glyphosate in one part per billion. Every one of those molecules can participate in forming a misfolded protein. Remember, as I said in the previous segment, that glyphosate passes through the cell wall to be ordered by the RNA template in the endoplasmic reticulum one molecule at a time. So
you have trillions of that. I mean, it's just, that's amazing.
Yeah, and that's why Monsanto saw destruction of the extracellular matrix. This really grabbed my attention when I was reading those trade secret studies. The fact that the pathologists noted that there was destruction of the extracellular matrix in every gland and organ of the animals. Now, the major construct of the extracellular matrix is glycine. It's anywhere from 23 to 27% of the amino acid glycine. So glyphosate misincorporating for glycine is going to cause problems with the collagens themselves, as well as the elastin when it misincorporates that, and also the connective proteins of fibronectin and laminin. So, this is serious. What Monsanto found, all this this interstitial destruction of not just taking out the cells, but then all the ECM that surrounds it left voids and left it porous. The same thing happens with our bones in osteoporosis.
Right.
Monsanto found that glyphosate bioaccumulated highest in the bone. And the bone has a high amount
glycine.
Of collagen.
Yeah, right. And there's your glycine connection.
And that's where the highest bioaccumulations occurred. They showed through radio label studies that glyphosate bioaccumulated in every tissue, gland, and organ of the animals. Why? Because it's a synthetic amino acid and analog of glycine. It participates in biology. It becomes part of biology, and when it does it, it changes the animal. It changes who we are as a species.
So, Dr. Samso, children getting these vaccines obviously are also being bombarded with glyphosate from other areas, whether it's the foods that they eat. Mom sprays Roundup on the dry. I see this all the time. I see women out there weeding, and they're spraying Roundup on their driveways, and I see a child's bicycle on the driveway. I think the kid's going to be playing on that in a little while. So these kids are getting, I'm 58 years old. We didn't have glyphosate when I was a kid, so I'm bioaccumulating it maybe for the past couple decades. But these children are having this incorporated into their bodies at a very young age. Does it ever come out? Can you ever excrete it?
Eventually, the bioaccumulated glyphosate, as the cell, as apoptosis or cell death is triggered and the cell is taken out, so is chunks of the ECM that surround the cell. And a lot of this stuff becomes insoluble debris, is found in the lymphatic system. The lymphatic system takes the trash out. Glyphosate, if you stop your intake, you're going to stop what's bioaccumulating. And anything that's bioaccumulating is eventually going to do damage. It's going to take out chunks of your glands and organs. And when you destroy the tissues of the glands and organs, they don't function normally. It leads to problems. So somewhere down the line, the glyphosate that you're eating now is going to cause problems. Remember, glyphosate, when it becomes part of protein, is resistant to proteolysis, so it doesn't break down that easy. But when the cell cycle is finished and it's time to trigger the death of that cell, all hell breaks loose.
Really? So it's not, here I'm thinking, you're going to say, yeah, that once apoptosis happens and macrophages and all autophagy, and you'll get rid of it. But you're saying that's not the case. In fact, what's going to happen is that it's going to leave a void where it was.
Yep, and you're going to wind up with in the lungs. You're going to wind up with fibrosis. Glyphosate causes COPD. I don't think we discussed that before.
No, but please do, please do.
Glyphosate was found to cause destruction of the lungs and deposit itself into the lungs, as in all tissues during the radio label studies that Monsanto did. Glyphosate was found to be able to be metabolized in vivo. Not much, a very, very small amount was metabolized, but it was exhaled through the lungs as radioactive carbon dioxide, showing that some metabolism of glyphosate happened in vivo, but most of the 1% or so of glyphosate that bioaccumulated from the dose was found in the various tissues, and it didn't matter where. I mean, it was found in the brain or and any place where the amino acid glycine travels and transports, so does glyphosate.
This is really scary. I mean, this is so I guess in the back of my mind, I always thought, well, I'll get the glyphosate out of my body eventually, but it doesn't sound like that's even a real possibility. I want to take a break. And I really am shaken up by this. I'm being sincere because I'm sitting here thinking I probably am suffering some of the maladies of glyphosate exposure, but surely there's something I can do. But it doesn't sound like there's anything that can be done. So let's stay tuned. We'll be right back.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Ketones are being called the fourth macronutrient because the body loves to use them for energy. Now you can leverage the hunger-fighting, mood-elevating effects of ketones with Keto OS. Take one package in the morning and don't eat again until you're hungry. You won't feel lethargic and you'll be alert and focused. Try Keto OS today. Go to superhumanradio.com, click the Keto OS banner ad to take advantage of the 5-day experience trial package. Leverage the power of ketones with Keto OS. Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest protein bar, now comes the Quest high protein potato chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest high protein potato chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
A legendary name in hardcore supplementation. Iron Mag Labs. 100% original, patent pending Andro compound. The most effective, hardcore, groundbreaking bodybuilding supplements in the world. Iron Mag Labs, revolutionizing hardcore supplementation for more than a decade. Visit IronMagLabs.com. IronMagLabs.com.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. We're talking with research scientist Dr. Anthony Samsel, who's been doing a lot of the heavy lifting when it comes to the dangers of glyphosate to spread the word about the truth We cannot be complacent about this stuff because, as you can see, it's not innocuous. It's not like, oh, so you have some glyphosate contamination, you eat organic and stay away from the stuff and everything will be fine. No, apparently it you cannot get it out of your body. So, okay, Dr. Samsel, we've been talking on this show for about a year now about the importance of glycine intake because a lot of the quote-unquote pro-aging effects of a high-protein diet seem to be mitigated when you use glycine because methionine and glycine have this relationship, and methionine seems to promote cellular aging, cellular senescence, and glycine reduces it. Would it be as simple as making sure you're getting enough glycine in your diet so that the synthetic glycine is not being incorporated?
Glyphosate in your diet, it works chaotically and randomly. Wherever the molecule is at the time, once it enters the cell, its electrical potential is higher and stronger than that of glycine. So if it's transported across the cell membrane into the cell, it's going to be grabbed ahead of glycine. We have to get it out of biology. We have to get it out of the food supply. Once you stop your exposure to glyphosate, the damage will be abated. As for that that's bioaccumulated, depending on the cell type and its timed apoptosis, will determine when those cells are going to die. I mean, every type of cell only
lasts. Has a different lifespan. Yeah.
Yeah. Has a different lifespan. So, I mean, eventually those cells that have glyphosate are going to be nixed. Some repair is possible, but
older.
When you're older and things are coming fibrotic, it's not really going to happen like when, in your youth. So it's important to get it out of your diet now. I mean, and you're talking about, glycine.
Intake?
Glycine also acts as a neurotransmitter.
Okay.
Glyphosate, would block the function
glycine's effectiveness as a neurotransmitter. It would compete
right
with it. So it sounds like the body glyphosate has a greater affinity to the role of glycine than even glycine itself.
Yeah, glyphosate increases the calcium 2 influx that activates the NMDA receptors and the voltage dependent channels. That results in apoptosis of the cell by oxidative stress. So getting glyphosate out of your biology is extremely important. That way glycine can work. Now, a lot of people are taking glycine supplementation. They're consuming gelatin. Well, I analyze gelatin, lots of different gelatins, and the gelatins that I've analyzed, the gelatin supply is contaminated unless it's sourced from organic pigs and cattle. Virtually all the gelatin that I've tested is contaminated with glyphosate. I mean, Jell-O dessert. There's always room for Jell-O. Well,
it's
contaminated. I found 9 parts per billion of glyphosate in Jell-O, in Knox gelatin, also used for dessert making. That's contaminated. The Power Max protein powder, advanced nutrition formula, that had almost 15 parts per billion glyphosate in that Power Max protein health powder. I mean, vitamins that we're giving children and adult vitamins, these gummy vitamins,
they're gelatin. You're
they're
right.
Gelatin. I mean, I found glyphosate in Disney gummy vitamins and Flintstones gummy vitamins. These things are all contaminated because of the gelatin supply. The global gelatin supply is contaminated, and they use gelatin in everything. I mean, not just as a substrate for like agar to grow microbes on for the production of vaccines, but they also add gelatin into vaccines as an excipient, a stabilizer,
right,
to keep the vaccine in suspension. So, I mean, this, there are serious consequences here because of the contaminated gelatin supply.
Why?
And the gelatin, I mean, it comes from bones and from pig skin.
Which we know has the highest incorporation of the glyphosate.
Right, because of collagen.
Right, right. So, how have you been on any mainstream radio or TV shows lately?
No, mainstream TV, Fox, NBC, ABC, CBS, and CNN. Television is dead. People don't get their news from television anymore.
That's right.
They get their news from their mobile devices.
And so, have you gotten any responses from the scientific community about this recent exposure of glyphosate contaminated vaccines?
The letter went to U.S. Senator Jean Shaheen back around the 15th of August, and her office immediately forwarded the letter plus my laboratory data directly to the CDC, the National Institute of Health, and the FDA, and then I had to send it to the the World Health Organization, UN World Health Organization of the Americas in Washington. I also sent it to State Department of Public Health, including the State Department of Public Health in California and New Hampshire. I also sent it to the judge in California that ruled that everyone should be vaccinated. I sent it to him, thought he should be aware of it, as well as the prosecutor down in Texas. I sent him a copy. I've sent out a lot of copies of the data. I did hear back from the CDC yesterday, even though my letter was sent to the director of the CDC. He didn't answer me. He had an underling, MD, send me a response, and it was a half-form letter, half-response, and this woman, I don't think she understood what she was reading, but she thanked me for my interest and concern that vaccines could possibly be contaminated with glyphosate. And I mean, she had just read in the letter that vaccines are contaminated with glyphosate.
Right, and you gave examples of the vaccines that you tested.
I sent them the data. And the parts per billion of glyphosate contamination in all these popular vaccines. I mean, I didn't just do a single dose of these vaccines or one manufacturer. I looked at many manufacturers. I mean, I looked at Merck, Sanofi, Wyeth, Novartis, GlaxoSmithKline, and I looked at multiple vaccines. I looked at the MMR, the DTaP, the Hep B, the Prevnar, Fluvirin, Zostavax, MMR2, Pneumovax 23, ProQuad, Verivax, Pneumovax 23. I said that one. Fluzone Quad. I looked at lots of different vaccines, and I used multiple laboratories to analyze these.
Right, right.
Because I didn't want anyone to say that. Well, you know, it was
the way that
the laboratory.
When
you have more than one laboratory doing the same lot of vaccine, and they're coming up with very similar results, it's not just coincidental.
So are you going to email that doctor back and clarify and put her back on track? I mean, because
I already have.
Oh, good.
I haven't heard back.
Well, because my frustration in today's environment with bureaucracy is you point out a truth to them. They answer your request with a half-truth, and then they just let it go. So in other words, the old saying, if you repeat a lie often enough people believe it, it becomes the truth. And I kind of feel like they are on a mission to use doublespeak to not have to address these things. And so just like a child who lies, you have to keep them on task and make them tell the truth. I kind of feel like you got to press this issue with them until, because you're going to be annoying, because you know what they're thinking to themselves. Oh, why does this guy just pipe down and leave us alone? But the reality is that lives are at stake here and future generations. We already know that a lot of these chemicals have transgenerational effects. I mean, it's really scary. We don't know what the next generation are going to be like because of the way germlines have been affected by this thing, too. Let's face it. If this synthetic amino acid is being incorporated into tissue, it's probably being incorporated into ovaries and sperm, too.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely incorporated into ovaries and sperm. As a matter of fact, Monsanto did studies in 1978, and DuPont did studies in 2007 looking at eggs, chicken ovum, and they found glyphosate in these as well. Any place, as I said, that glycine is used in biology, you will find glyphosate capable of misincorporating and bioaccumulating. It bioaccumulates in all life, plants, fungi, microbes, it can be taken up by any and all. With microbes, it's probably responsible for bacterial resistance, like in MRSA and a lot of these other bacteria.
We talked about that on the show. I want to take a break, and I want to tell you a hypothesis I have. And I want you to tell me if I'm far off or in the ballpark. Stay tuned.
Sure.
We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You, too, can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide. 4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com.
Trojan horse.
The category killer just got upgraded in a big way. New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 is here. Take it before and after training and recover faster than with anabolic steroids. Visit Synthogen.com and use coupon code SHR15 for 15% off. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
What do professional athletes such as Kobe Bryant and A-list celebrities such as Selma Hayek have in common? They are all touting the benefits of bone broth. But unless you have countless hours to cook every week or can hire your own personal chef, you're probably missing out on these critical nutrients. Osteobroth is a high-protein, standardized, consistent bone broth in a convenient powdered form. Use promo code SHR for 20% off at osteobroth.com.
Ketones are being called the fourth micronutrient because the body loves to use them for energy. Now you can leverage the hunger-fighting, mood-elevating effects of ketones with Keto OS. Take one package in the morning and don't eat again until you're hungry. You won't feel lethargic and you'll be alert and focused. Try Keto OS today. Go to superhumanradio.com, click the Keto OS banner ad to take advantage of the 5-day experience trial package. Leverage the power of ketones with Keto OS.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Either with those who love freedom.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Anthony Samsel. We're talking about vaccines being contaminated with glyphosate. Just one more thing that is contaminated with glyphosate. Glyphosate is everywhere today. It's ubiquitous, and it's harmful to the human condition. So, Dr. Samsel, there was a study that you may have read, too. So you, please jump in if it's the one you read. I think it was done by a scientist at Washington State University who was looking at E. coli and listeria on crop plants. And what they did was they found the effective dose to kill the pathogens using an antibiotic. But then they went to fields that were sprayed with dicamba or glyphosate, and they looked at the effective dose of killing the listeria or E. coli in those crop plants, and they found that those crop plants, because of being exposed to those herbicides through the process of hormesis, these pathogens became stronger and more resistant. They needed much higher doses of antibiotics to kill them. And so when I read that study, I thought to myself, we're seeing an inordinate amount of recalls of spinach and cantaloupe in recent times. And I'm wondering if, in fact, what's happening is that the listeria and the E. coli is becoming more resistant to the traditional methods of washing the fruit or produce. And so it's staying in there on up through the food chain until we actually eat it. If it's not a fact, it's not that these processors are not washing it. It's that what they normally do isn't effective any longer because these pathogens are stronger.
Okay, let me jump in on that. I'm familiar with that study. I'm also familiar with another study that was done over in Europe on E. coli, where they examined the effects of E. coli of glyphosate on E. coli bacteria, and they found that glyphosate could both up and down regulate over 1,000 genes, 1,040 genes exactly. Were up and down regulated. Now, those genes controlled all kinds of functions for the production of various enzymes and whatnot. So glyphosate impacted the ability and changed the ability of E. coli to function and caused it to function differently. You talked about toxicity to the bacteria. Well, again, like we at the beginning of your program, I talked about glyphosate as being virtually non-toxic as far as we're concerned. Well, that's basically true with bacteria, too. Not all bacteria are sensitive and get killed by glyphosate. Glyphosate was patented by Monsanto as an antibiotic because
right.
it kills many, many species, but some are more resistant, and they are more resistant because they're resistant to proteolysis by the herbicide absorption. Small amounts of glyphosate, we're down, one molecule at a time, can be incorporated into the biology of all living things and change the protein's function, change the enzyme's function. Now, let me give you an example of how that works in plants. I've done some extensive work with genetically engineered corn and non-genetically engineered corn, over 56, 58 varieties. And I've looked at, in the laboratory, the changes in the proteins, the vitamins, and the fatty acids, and the mineral content of genetically engineered, non-genetically engineered, and those same varieties of corn sprayed with glyphosate and not sprayed with glyphosate under the same field conditions, same soil conditions, analyzing the soil at the roots, analyzing the mineral content of the plant, the fatty acids and vitamins. And what I found, and haven't published yet, and at some point I need to, is that glyphosate changed the biology of the plant so that it produced different isomers of vitamins. I looked specifically at vitamin E and the six isomers of vitamin E and found that the when you spray the genetically engineered corn with glyphosate, that you get a more a toxic variety of vitamin E, as opposed to one that doesn't cause inflammation. Some of the vitamin E isomers induce inflammation, and others prevent inflammation. So glyphosate affected the plant's biology as to what isomer of vitamin E it was putting out. When you spray the plant with glyphosate, it is putting out a corn that was producing inflammatory isomers of vitamin E. Also, it changed the fatty acid content of the omega 3, 6, and 9, and other amino acids. So, yeah, and how does it do it? Well, glyphosate becomes part of the plant's biology too. It substitutes for glycine, causes a misfolded protein that either malfunctions or performs another function.
I was just going to say, the same way it's hurting us, it's hurting the plants and everything else.
It hurts all living things. It is a synthetic amino acid that was created in a laboratory. You can basically say it's extraterrestrial in nature because it never occurred on Earth. And now that it's in service in agriculture and in the food supply, it's in a holy place. It's where it shouldn't be.
Okay, we only have about 5 minutes here. So what's the answer to all this? Let's say tomorrow morning your wishes all came true from your hard work of exposing this. Glyphosate is removed from industry completely, let's say. It's all gone now. No one's using it anymore. What happens to us then? Do we see something beneficial, or is it no? We have to wait for generations for it to come out of us now.
No, I think that we would see immediate results getting it out of the food supply. I think you would see disease rates begin to drop as opposed to skyrocketing since 1990. I mean, there's been a steady decline in all these modern diseases. And I think you would see a reversal of the trend. But we can't go substituting another herbicide for glyphosate.
That's the problem. That's what they do. And the FDA purposefully allows their clients the adequate time to find a replacement before they ban something. And just like they did, I predicted that people all excited that the FDA was forcing companies to get rid of BPA. I said, wait. I said, they've given them a lot of time because they're going to let them find something equally as harmful. Now we know that what they replaced the BPA with is also an endocrine disruptor. So you're right. We don't just need to get rid of it and replace it with something.
And it's an endocrine disruptor because of its effects on the extracellular matrix, on the carbohydrates, like the glycosaminoglycans and proteoglycans of the extracellular matrix. It changes the pH and the chemistry. All xenobiotics affect the extracellular matrix. And what happens inside of the extracellular matrix outside of the cell affects the mitochondria inside of the cell. So, getting rid of glyphosate, which is a synthetic amino acid, misincorporating into biology, yeah, that's going to negate a lot of adverse outcomes. But substituting something else that affects the extracellular matrix carbohydrates, I mean, it's going to cause disease
right,
too.
Right. It's very, very sad. It's very. Do you get frustrated a lot?
I sure do.
How do you cope with that?
Well, I just keep plugging away at the research. I mean, it's going to take time and education. I mean, I appear before interested members of Congress as well as a closed door meeting with the Environmental Protection Agency back in June with some of my fellow scientists, and we told them that they've got to get glyphosate out of the food supply. EPA recorded my presentation. They're having a special meeting in October for 4 days to discuss glyphosate. In the Federal Register, when they made the announcement, the EPA now refers to glyphosate as a synthetic amino acid.
Finally. Man. So what can my listeners do to help the cause?
They can write their congressman, their senator, and tell them that we need to get this out of the food supply.
Yeah, okay. Dr. Samsil, thank you so much for taking time to come on the show.
Thank you for having me.
We'll talk again soon, okay?
Sure.
Okay. And I also want to thank Audra and Justin, right? Is that? Let me make sure I got the names right, because, you know, I do make mistakes. I know a lot of people don't believe that, but it was... my computer's so slow. I'm getting away from an iPhone, by the way. I'm definitely going to go to a Windows-based product. I'm done with iPhones. We want to thank Justin and Audra Wilford. The website is maxloveproject.org. And don't forget the hashtag. If you just share the things that they put up on their Facebook page, that hashtag, Honest Loves Max, actually brings them $1 every time that hashtag shows up in a post. And that is going to fund a lot of great things for a lot of families whose children are battling brain cancer. And we'll see everybody tomorrow. Tomorrow is Friday, which means it's Casual Friday. So we hope that you can tune in live. But if you can't, there's always the podcast. See you tomorrow.